if you're relying on a generative AI tool to create that page, that thing that people are going to see, it's going to sound like everybody else by design. It's not going to differentiate or stand out. And that's really those are the moments where you have to prove why you're different and how valuable you are. Not with a lot of words, just the right words, right? Or the right image. So when brands lean too heavily into generative AI to do that kind of work for them, they inevitably, you know, they fall into the sea of sameness. They look like everybody else.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfans, Freddie D here. In this episode 210, we're joined by David Ebner, president of Content Workshop. David helps businesses solve a problem that's becoming harder to ignore. Content that sounds polished, but doesn't actually connect, differentiate, or build trust. From his early roots as a creative writer to leading a story-first content marketing agency for B2B tech brands, David has built a team of classically trained storytellers who've created more than 30,000 content assets. If your message feels generic, inconsistent, or buried in a sea of AI-generated noise, David brings a clear path to stronger brand voice, better storytelling, and content that turns expertise into real authority. Welcome, David, to the Business Superfans Advantage podcast. Great conversation that we had before we started recording. So let's continue that conversation.
Sounds great.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So you've got an interesting product here, especially having both sales and marketing background, your Content Workshop. I mean, content today is really paramount, especially in an AI world. You can use AI to kind of proof it and improve it, but realistically, it's not going to really create the thought leadership part of the conversation. You still need to do that as a person.
100%. Our ethos as a business and mine personally is that human creativity is still the most important element in any type of content creation. If you're creating it on behalf of yourself, if you're a thought leader and you want to drive up some more awareness, or if you're a brand and you want to differentiate yourself or grow trust with a target audience, the human creativity element is paramount. However, the question just becomes, where does human creativity live in the process? If we start to think of AI more of a process, like to generate a process, and then we plug AI into the proper steps that make the most sense, you start to think about it a little differently than the Alexa do the dishes, kind of like the idea of like hitting a magic button, it does the thing for you. That's how you still can use the tool, but use it in a way that's ensures quality.
Sure. I've been using some form of AI probably for the last 5 years, primarily as just an enhancement to what I was doing. So I wasn't depending on it completely. I would put it in, have it proof it, have it improve the verbiage, check first grammar and blah, blah, blah. And does it make sense? And that's how I've used it for a while.
Yeah, it's amazing how well these tools have adapted to over time be able to consume memory. So, you know, you can input your brand specifics, right? Like these, literally you can get to the visual side, your colors and logos and stuff, but this is our voice. This is how we talk. You can feed it a bunch of articles of past things that you produce that are of high quality and train it on language use, sentence structure, say this, not that. And it can do a really good job of that editing function you just talked about, Freddie. Like it's quite good as like a last pass. Certainly you want to still read it before you hit publish. The number of articles we've read that it's just like the last line is, and do you want us to turn this into a blog for you? And that's like they unfortunately published the secondary prompt title.
So how did you get started with Content Workshop? What's the background? What's the backstory?
It starts all the way back when I was a wee little lad, right? When I was a kid growing up, I have four siblings, grew up in Ohio, working family, right? It was hard to get the attention of the adults in the room in that scenario. So I just started telling stories. I would tell these fantastic stories of things that happened in my day. And that's how I would get attention. That's how I could get time with my family, with my parents, with my mom and my dad. And that kind of just grew into what I went to school for, which was creative writing. I studied the classical form of storytelling as an undergraduate. Then I went to graduate school for that. And when I was in graduate school, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm getting a fine arts degree. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to put money in my pocket? How am I going to put food on the table? So I started copywriting, freelance copywriting, because that's when I realized everything I was learning in school, like narration, dialogue, story arc, all of that stuff was directly applicable to commercial content. And that is when Content Workshop started, when I was in graduate school. We were kind of like a collective of freelancers, of artists that were just trying to like use what we've learned to make money. And that was 13 years ago. So it's continued to grow in that time. And we kind of like came into it at the proper time when the market was really looking for more brand storytelling as part of marketing. And people are starting to shift some of their spend away from performance and advertising and more toward building a brand. So it was kind of a nice like nexus of what was happening in the world with the solutions that we provided.
Yeah, because really the story is what really converts. I mean, having been in sales for decades, especially in a tech space, that's one of the things that I really kind of worked with prospective customers is learning about their story, how they got started and what was their objectives. And so I never really sold the technology. I was just getting them to realize that I'm the solution to the challenges in their business, and they were buying, I wasn't selling.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually our sales methodology here at Content Workshop. We get to know people, understand their goals and challenges, and if we're a good fit to help them overcome their challenges and reach their goals, we just help them. And we just so happen to like get money for it. And that's the exchange. Helping is selling, right? So that's our kind of our approach too. And that really helps when you understand their full story, because inevitably you're going to pick up nuggets of what their pain points are, pain points that they solve for their clients and customers. And then you can help them by essentially proving the concept with them through the sales process. Then you can show them what you can do for them as well too.
Yeah, I mean, it completely changes the dynamics of the conversation, because now you're no longer a salesperson. You're really kind of a advisor in a sense, and somebody that they can brainstorm ideas with. And that's the top level sales approach, because you're not selling anymore. You're having a business conversation. And, you know, when I was selling manufacturing software in the tool and die shops, you know, I'd see, you know, metal that was laying around, and I says, what's going on with that? They says, well, it's scrapped. We can't use it because the milling machine cut it wrong. And so I says, well, what do you do with it? And they says, well, we wait till we can repurpose it for someone else that needs that particular metal. Well, what's that piece of metal cost? Oh, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. So how many of those a year that happens?
Yeah.
And so, you know, my $60,000 software at the time, you know, I save you two of those and you're ahead of the ballgame.
That's exactly right. We work primarily with clients that are in tech, cybersecurity, complex products or large products that have a high price tag and a very educated and informed audience. So like that's kind of like the cross section of where we find a lot of value. But for the most part, just selling one more thing is more than enough to cover our costs. And then you get the great thing with content is that it lives forever. So, you know, it's not on the performance side, which is extremely important, paying for ads and different things like that. That's fantastic. But the second you pay for it, it's gone. It's like burning money, right? It's like buying food and eating it. We build you a farm, right? Like we build you content that will produce leads, maybe it's slow to start, right? And there's a little bit of a building concept, but it'll produce you revenue over time. And it usually never stops.
Yeah, because you're positioning it to pop up periodically in the conversations. Mm-hmm. So it's a long-term asset, not just a short-term, you know, flyer and off it goes.
Right.
It's a whole strategy of what how it can be applicable and what you're solving. And there's probably different stages of that conversation that gets put together so that they've got a long-term story they can run for 6 months to a year or whatever.
Exactly. And that's back to what you were saying before, that's the brand story, right? The story is for most brands, it's kind of interesting because brands in their infancy, usually the brand story, that they think it's more about why they were started and their founding, which is important, no question. It's more of the founder's story at that point in time. But when it truly like turns into the brand story, it becomes more about the target audience. Like, what problems of your target audience do you solve? How do you make their life better? How do you help them reach aspirational goals, save them money, save them time, whatever it is? And that's truly the story. The hero of your brand story is your customer, not you. And that's right. A bit of a transition for a lot of brands to like get to that point. But when they do, then it opens up this whole nexus of content where they can help people by demonstrating your expertise online and giving advice to people. And inevitably that leads to leads and sales and all the other stuff.
When I was managing a language services company a couple of years ago, we redid the whole website, and I worked with somebody to help improve the verbiology of the website. So it created some stories, because that was the first impression that people got. Because in today's world, everybody breaks out their smartphone, looks at what's going on. That's the first impression that people get. And if the messaging is garbled up or too busy, and they can't get it, and people's attention span is seconds today, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. And AI kind of compounds that, right, Freddie? Because if you're relying on a generative AI tool to create that page, that thing that people are going to see, it's going to sound like everybody else, right? By design. It's not going to differentiate or stand out. And that's really those are the moments where you have to prove why you're different and how valuable you are. Not with a lot of words, just the right words. Right? Or the right image. So when brands lean too heavily into generative AI to do that kind of work for them, they inevitably, they fall into the sea of sameness. They look like everybody else.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I used to do a workshop, 2009 or so in Chicago. We were talking about storytelling and the guy I was working with, he was pretty strong into that and working with LinkedIn. And we basically showed a whole crowd and a person standing out by themselves away from the crowd. The whole conversation was, how do you differentiate yourself from all the noise out there? And that's what you guys are really doing with your stories, and then more importantly, helping elevate brands so that they're more recognized for what they bring to the table.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just as easy. It's as easy as zigging where everybody else is zagging. You don't have to be always disruptive. Right. You don't have to like be super splashy and big. You just have to be like a little bit interruptive, where like you can add something that maybe wasn't truly expected. And it's actually not that hard when everybody's doing the same thing. So although AI has kind of generated this AI slop, right? But like there's a lot of words that don't say a whole lot and a lot of things sound the same. It's easier to differentiate, but it's harder because there's so much volume that's out there.
Right. Yeah, and today really the content has got to incorporate really three equations, which is SEO, GEO, and AEO. And that's so there that changes how you write the copy, because you've got really three things that you've got to target to get recognized in today's world, to position yourself as an authority in your space, so that in today AI is, ChatGPT or Claude recommends you as a solution to what the person's looking at. That's the game today.
That's it, right? And the good news is, at least what I've learned over the years of doing this, because we were very heavily invested in understanding the best practices of SEO over the years, right? There's a lot of similarities between how those three elements, SEO, GEO, and AEO, all operate and how they rank. But a lot of it has to do with what you just said, which is authority. But how do we measure authority? Authority is typically measured by other people talking about you.
Third party.
Yep. It's always third party, right? So, right. We are big proponents, actually backlinks to your website from other websites, actually super valuable. Both they were in SEO world, but now they're valuable in GEO and AEO world. People interacting with your content is extremely valuable. The one thing that is new, and it's true for SEO as well too, is that how you format your content so it's easy for these bots that scrape it, index it, and then serve it up to people. It's easy and a low cost for them to see it is extremely important. There's a lot of people right now who are building these secondary files that sit on pages that are for bots. So when people come to a website, a human comes, they see the website you have now. If a bot comes, there's literally a little router that sends it to this other page that is written in a way that allows the bot to consume it faster and cheaper because it's burning tokens every time it reads something, right? So if it's cheaper and fast, it's gonna read more of it, and you're more likely to be served up now. So there's a couple of things that are different in the world today as it stands to get seen on those elements, but there's a lot of stuff that's the same as it was before. Certainly, everybody's lost traffic. Like websites have just lost traffic. Like there's less organic traffic, no question. At first, it was only specific industries. Now it seems like it's just about every industry has dipped in traffic because a lot of these answer engines or generative AI engines, they don't refer as many people as they used to. So a lot of your brand visibility is happening externally and not on your site. So you're getting mentioned and people are hearing about you, but you're not getting the clicks and not being able to see that. So there's like this kind of black hole of reporting and invisibility that we don't really know. We can see that we're showing up in the prompts. Like you can literally run tests to see you're showing up, but how did that actually affect the user? It's hard to know.
Right. Because, you know, when we search today, whether you're using Bing or you're using Google or whatever, there's a left column that used to be all the, you know, all the paid ads from Google or Bing. Now it's a synopsis from the AI tool telling you what you're looking for. So most people don't go past that anymore.
No.
And, oh, that's what I needed. Great. Oh, this is who I need to go to. Boom. That's it. They don't look at the 57 other companies below that.
And that started happening actually prior to 2021 when they started doing those key insights at the top where they were just built. They were literally pulling blocks of copy from the sites that they were referencing below and putting it there for you, saying, this is what we think you're looking for. So we were already on that path before AI just blew it out of the water and said, like, what do you need to click on these links for? I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. You don't need to read that. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. So what we're finding is that what AI really serves up a lot of and what it's kind of the lunch it's eating from a site traffic point of view is a lot of informational content. So if you're just informing people like here's a definition to a term, here's the weather in San Francisco, right? Like information, then AI is better suited to answer those questions faster for the user. Now, the difference though is content that's designed to be educational, content that's designed to teach somebody how to do something that they didn't know before. That is where people are still going to websites and consuming a lot of long form content. And we're finding a lot of brands come to us asking for that type of content. They want deep dives. They want the report of everything that happened in the year. They want to take all of their proprietary data and build a report. They want to be on the cutting edge of thought leadership. And that's educational content, not informational content. So that seems to be the more of what people want today.
Sure, because and I can relate because I wrote an article that was my first article that went crazy on LinkedIn. I got over 13,000 views off of one article, and it was a story. I focused the whole writing on a story. It wasn't my story. It was a guest story, but I had my two cents in it, put it out there, and it just took off. LinkedIn bit into it and blasted it everywhere.
That is a great way to use LinkedIn too. That's really smart.
Yeah. So speaking of stories, get into a story where you worked with an organization that was kind of plateaued with their messaging. And how did you turn that around to where they became, you know, what I call business super fan, the same level of a sports team super fan, but for business, and promoted you and got you additional. They became a growth engine for you from a referral perspective.
Yeah, that's happened a lot. I mean, our entire business, right? Word of mouth is a massive, still a massive form and even growing more. Read this article recently that Adweek had put out. And I posted about it on my LinkedIn, but they're measuring like how people are actually coming to websites today. And far more traffic is coming from people literally sharing links with other people. Like I'm just sending my link to my buddy Freddie because I think he'd find this article interesting. That is happening at a higher rate than ever. So when we talk about word of mouth and people talking about you, there's digital components to that too, like that sharing function. And it really does have a huge impact for service-based businesses. It's everything. You know, and that's how we built our business over the last 13 years is just delighting customers as much as we can. And you know what I found, Freddie, is like sometimes it doesn't actually have to do with the product, but how you make them feel.
Right.
Your point of contact. So we have a great client. I won't mention their name on the podcast, but they when they come to us asking us for help, they're not asking particularly for new messaging or like, hey, this thing isn't working over here. We need you to solve that problem for us. they're coming to us and saying, like, we need a new strategy and we need to brainstorm with somebody who's somebody we trust, who works with other companies in this industry and understands what's going on. How do we zig where everybody else is zagging? Like, give us some insights. And then helping them solve that problem. And whether it's literally us, like, fulfilling the content that they need for that solve a problem, or just giving them the advice and their team runs with it, them feeling like they can trust us to have their back, to show up when we say we're going to show up, to have their best interest at heart is the differentiator. And that's where we get most of our referrals, is really about how we treat our points of contact. So I guess this is more about, less about marketing and more about client success and client relationships. But
right. But that's how you create, you know, what I call super fans, because if you're having the conversation with the individual within that organization or individuals within that organization, you've got 1 to 20 people or more that are now talking about, hey, man, you need to talk to my friend David with, you know, a content workshop. And that changes the whole dynamics of the conversation, because they're not going to go look at 12 different people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're you know, that's my buddy that's referring his buddy to me. And that's how that goes.
Yeah. And in today's age, a lot of marketers are worried about losing their jobs, right? They're all worried that they're being forced to use AI. We're hearing this all the time. Our executive team said we have to start using these tools without clear direction of, like, how or what the end result or goal is, other than just efficiency. And I also am worried that if I do it really well, will this tool just replace me in my job if I build a system that is automated and fast? So there's a lot of, like, anxiety with marketers today. And those are our main points of contact. So what we try to do is make them look like superheroes. That's our goal. My goal is to make my point of contact look like a superhero in the eyes of who their supervisor, their boss is, right? And if I can leverage that, I'll give them the tools to show that, or the outcomes to show that, or whatever it is to show that, then I'm doing my job. I don't need the accolades on the website. I don't need the awards. I just need that person to feel more secure in their role, and for them to be able to show their boss that the work that I'm doing with them is helping, and they're going to stay in that role and they're going to keep me around. And if the worst comes to worst and they actually do get replaced, they're going to remember their buddy David, who was there for them and help, try to help them through that.
You bring up a good point that I want to really emphasize, is making sure that you're helping the person you're dealing with in a way of edifying them, so that they look like a hero, as you mentioned, to their management team. Mm-hmm. That's how you create long-term super fans, because you're helping them achieve their goals. And, you know, especially in an AI world, by helping them become indispensable because of the fact that they know how to use the tool, they know how to set it up and everything else, you know, that mindset shifts from being, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job, to holy moly, they need me.
They need me.
Because I'm the only guy that knows how to do this stuff, or gal that knows how to do this stuff. And David helped me put that together. I'm not going to tell him that, you know, David's the rock star behind my success, but someone else is looking for it. I'm going to be a mouthpiece. I mean, my fastest sale for $60,000 was 30 minutes. And it was because one of my super fan mold shops told somebody else that they should buy from me. That person called me up and said, Jack says, and that was the guy's real name, Jack says, I need to get this. How much? How fast can you get it here? So 30 minutes was putting together the quotation.
Yeah.
So he could sign it. And then I used his fax machine to ship it.
That's amazing. That's the thing, is a lot of this marketing and sales and these relationships that you have to build, you don't truly know what the outcome is going to be from them. Some of them, you might have a great relationship and it turns into no business whatsoever, but you know that it is a road to that place, right? So you keep doing it. You keep doing it. Also, it makes you feel good too, Freddie. Like, I feel good when I've helped somebody, whether they're paying me or not, right? So that's
it
nice.
It comes around.
Yeah.
The karma comes around. So it just does. And that person may not need your service today, but they may know someone else that could benefit from your service. And they become a referral source, even though, you know, I've always told people, you go to live networking events and you never follow up with anybody.
Yeah.
You wasted the person's time you talked to and your time, and you'll never know the 250 people that is in their network.
Yes.
Because even though you can't do business together because there's no fit, you're missing out on all the external, because I've got 250 people, you got 250 mm-hmm. people, and there's somewhere in there, and there'd be somewhere that could benefit from each other's service.
100%. Yeah, there's spheres of influence, right? Like, and you can start to work your way into one, and every single person you meet has their own like group of people that they are influential over, and you'll never know. You'll never know the full extent of that. But that we've got a saying around here that our friendship is always free. And we tell people that it's a hokey thing that we say at the end of every sales call, but we mean it. We truly mean it. I've had people who haven't bought from us, but they'll send me a message on LinkedIn asking questions or an email like, hey, this thing came up. You said your friendship is free. Like, can I bug you or just get your advice on something? And the answer is, of course. You just, not only do you not know when that will come back around, but I don't know, like I've been doing this long enough to know that it will, but also at the end of the day, it's just about all we have is how we make people feel, right?
Sure.
And it doesn't hurt to just be friendly.
Yeah. People forget what you said. People forget what you, people forget what you said. People forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you were giving free advice, it's still positioning you as the authority in that space because you're helping somebody with a need and they're going around, this guy knows his stuff. It helps elevate you in a way that mm-hmm. you stand out from everybody else.
And we get this pushback too, Freddie, when people are concerned about like giving away the secret sauce a little bit through their content. Like if I'm demonstrating my expertise online and I provide a service, a human-based service, let's say, am I just giving away the thing that people are paying me for? Like, why would I do that? People typically don't buy how you do something. People buy that they have trusted you're going to do it right.
Right.
You know, like people hire us not because they can't write. They can write. Everybody can write or they can use AI to write. But will it be good? Will it reach their goals? Will it get done on time? And they trust that all those things will be answered. They'll pay us for it. Right. So, I truly believe in it. It's an ethos of not just our company, but me personally, this friendship is always free, but like content really should be about giving away a little bit of that secret sauce. Choose wisely. Don't give away the actual secrets of the company. Right? But, you know, people hire you because you're effective in what you do and they trust you.
Right.
Not specifically that like they need somebody to turn a widget. Right.
Right. So talk about a little bit about all the different solutions or services.
We do quite a bit and it's always evolving, right? We've been evolving for 13 years. We have a few different business lines. Our legacy and core business line is our content studio. So that's, you know, if it's got words, graphics, audio or video on it, we do it, right? Everything from you want to launch a podcast and you need help like editing the video and building, you know, campaigns around it. We can create those pieces of content for you, sure. You want to rank on SEO or show up in ChatGPT, right? Like we can help you generate the content that'll do that. Another studio that we have is our web studio. We build websites from scratch, right? Brand storytelling doesn't just live in the content. It lives all over your website. So whether that's like a refresh or you need to migrate to WordPress or whatever you need to do, you need hosting. We have a whole team that does that. Additionally, we have an experiential studio that takes brand storytelling to real life events, right? So if you want to do an activation, you want to do a certain experience with a booth at a conference, we can help you build that brand experience. And we focus very heavily on the solution you provide your target audience. It's not just about being flashy. It's about truly like giving them something that demonstrates what it'd be like to work with you. And that's what we focus on for those events. And those can be massive, as you can imagine, or they can be pretty small. And then lastly, we have our own AI studio as well, too, where we'll build AI ecosystems based on the tools of your company's choice for you inside of your own brand. So, you know, we had a client who wanted to build all these little gems using Gemini to execute certain workflows and tasks for their company. And mm-hmm. we built them for them. We run test projects. And then we don't just like walk away if you need our services and help. Will help advise you along the way. Last thing I'll mention is that we actually launched our own software a couple of weeks ago. It's called Chatter. That is actually has a lot to do with what we're talking about here today. The idea of like knowing what your target audience is like listening to and hearing right now, what articles, what other stories on the internet are appealing to them. It kind of like helps you collect all of those and aggregate them in one place based on your brand inputs and then choose which ones are like so good that you probably should have an opinion about or turn into your own type of content based on that as a source or a resource for that. So a lot of people are using that to you know, make posts on LinkedIn around right. things that are happening right now. Literally, I'm a nerd for this stuff too, Freddie, but I,
so
we,
am I.
I know we built the thing and then I was just so surprised that it worked so well. But there was a story that HubSpot had published about, AEO, and within 40 minutes of the HubSpot publishing it, it was in my chatter feed, my stories feed and chatter, and I was able to turn it into a topic idea in the tool and then post it on my LinkedIn profile within 40 minutes of it being live on HubSpot's site. So, I mean, the speed is great, but really what it comes down to is like there are thousands of other people reading that article right now. So when I get to reference it and have an opinion on it, an opinion that differentiates me from other
people. You're riding on that wave.
Exactly. I'm riding that wave. So when I tag HubSpot in that post and they say thank you and everybody who just read that also sees, like, it's amazing. I promise you, I'm not trying to hard sell it, but we have a free instance of it. So you can go use it for free right now, but it's pretty cool.
No, it is really cool because that's how I used Claude to basically take that one article that was a transcript of the guest on the show. And it was Chris Carlisle was the guest from Seattle Seahawks, strength training coach for them when they won the Super Bowl. And so we talk about, you know, the management style and everything else. And then I took my two cents into it and packaged it. And so that was a whole story that I got out of the transcript of the podcast, repurposed it just like you're doing. And but I had to write all the code myself to do it. I created proprietary for me because it's leveraging the show for me because I've been in a tech space since it began.
So
what you're talking about is how to really leverage the game to position yourself as an authority within your space.
Let's be honest, like if you're going to publish something as a thought leader, you should have an actual opinion about it. And I think that's extremely important. That's where the human creativity comes in the process. Like you have to read it, review it, and provide it your insights to a degree so that the output is actually like opinionated and based on what you actually believe. We see so much content out there that doesn't like take a stand or an opinion. It's just repurposing content. And that's fine, but like you're going to get passed by. Like to be a true thought leader, you actually have to lead, which is meaning that you have to have an idea that may be controversial, or different even, that's avant-garde. It can't be just like everything else. And that's no longer thought leadership, right?
Sure. So share another story with us, David, on somebody, you know, a vertical that you worked with. How did you help them kind of craft their story and elevate their brand? Again, they became a super fan of the work that you guys do.
I won't name the company, but they're very early in their tech space. They're based out of Atlanta. They're one of the Atlanta tech unicorns that have been popping up all over the place now. But they brought us on early because they knew they needed all these elements. They're private equity backed. You know, the people that were advising them said, you don't have a brand story. You need one. So they brought us in to build that initial like brand story. And we actually, and I say this as a positive outcome, we worked ourselves out of a job. Right. Because we built this amazing brand story. We helped them elevate that story onto their site. Right. We rematched every word that was on their site with this new story, with this new outline based on how people would see it, keywords, different things like that. But also like the concise nature of language. They started to generate a lot of leads. They can directly tie people interacting with the new content that was created on their site based on this new story compared to what was happening before. And they got more VC, more money from their VC and private equity backers. And they were able to hire a whole team internally. So, which is fine. That's fine. That's the nature of the business.
You accomplished the goal. You helped them grow to the point where you worked yourself out of a job. I mean, that's really a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you propelled them. And I want to really emphasize something else here is on the storytelling. When I was working in the language services, it was a competitor. And I loved the way they did a video and the story that they created. Because it wasn't about them. Mm-hmm. It was a story that was of this agency that worked with special needs kids and stuff like that. And they were multilingual individuals and kids. So the story was about the wonderful things that this agency was doing for all these orphan kids and stuff like that. And they were just the engine behind the scenes that was making the communication gap work. But it wasn't ever about them. It was all about the agency. So it was really a double piece marketing because it marketed the agency Mm-hmm. It showed how wonderful they are, which is a great story. And at the same time, it showed the story of how they're helping them create a great story for the kids.
I know.
So it was brilliant marketing. And that falls right into the stuff that you guys are doing.
Yeah, 100%. And they referred us other business. Go figure, right? Their private equity firm that owns them noticed the work that they did too. And that helped us quite a bit finding some other clients as well too. So you just don't know, you know, provide the best service, delight your customers, tell a great story, and good things will happen. I can't guarantee it, but I promise it.
Well, that's why I keep saying, you know, the goal is to really create super fans.
Yeah.
So you're creating super fans at the level of a sports team super fan. And that's where I got this whole idea from. Yeah. Is, you know, you got the people with the faces painted, the jerseys, the banners, they're diehard for their team.
Yeah.
Now, you take that same model and turn it into diehard for their company. Mm-hmm. They're going to propel that company, which is what you did with that Atlanta company. And they're going to tell everybody about how you helped them get to where you got to. So they're a super fan of you. That's in turn generated more revenue. Mm-hmm. And it's a trifecta win.
Yeah, the true win, I guess, if you ask yourself, if the person was into like tattoos, would they tattoo your brand on their body? Right? Like, that's a super fan right there.
Right. Harley Davidson.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, Harley's done such a fantastic job. And I'm a huge motorcycle rider. And honestly, I don't prefer Harleys over some of the other bikes that are out there. But what they've done is undeniable.
Lifestyle.
Yes, it's a lifestyle. Exactly. So, you know, I think that also happens internally too with your own internal team, right? If my team members and my employees feel like if I can get them to be super fans, that like just creates an amplification of potential to garner clients as super fans as well too. So trying to treat their internal customers as well as the external customers, I think can like build almost a multiplying factor.
It does build a multiplying factor because I had a guest on a show that called, you know, the people that interact with anything outside your business really should be looked at as directors of first impression.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about leadership, employee experience, customer journey, and that's where it all stops. But that the real business ecosystem goes beyond that, you know, contractors and VAs, mm-hmm. suppliers and vendors. If you market through a distribution channel, you got everybody associated with the distribution channel. You got complementary businesses, and nobody even thinks of an ancillary business. And at the end of the day, that to me is a whole business, real business ecosystem. Mm-hmm. That's a growth engine sitting, waiting to be ignited to start promoting it. So if you, that whole ecosystem to the level of a sports team super fan, mm-hmm. your business can only do one thing, skyrocket.
Yeah, that's all it can do, right? You have, I like to call them co-conspirators. You have so many co-conspirators in your success at that time. If you can create these super fans internally, externally, they're all looking to make sure that you're successful. Like they're all thinking about you. I actually like going out of my way and sharing our company goals with clients and things like that. Like, I think it's important that everybody understands what you're trying to accomplish because then you're going to be on the front of their mind when those opportunities present themselves. And it truly is an opportunity. Like, a great example of that is I emailed, there's a couple other content agencies that we're friendly with because they do great work. Sometimes we work together on projects. Sometimes we go straight up against each other from a competitive point of view, but there's plenty to go around, right? But I emailed one year or two ago saying, hey, I just want to check in, see how you're doing. Haven't talked to you in a while. Like, we should get coffee next time I'm in town. And 30 minutes later, he responded, actually, I might have a lead for you. I have a client who needs this. We don't provide it, but you guys do. And that turned into a six-figure deal just from staying in touch. And I've already built the trust with that person. He's already a super fan for us. And he literally said, I would not recommend you because this is such a near and dear client to us that I wouldn't recommend you if I didn't think y'all could do well because you're going to represent me as well. So that's really important. And staying present and sharing your goals and anyway, building those relationships.
I want to emphasize it for our listeners is the fact that you got everybody into what I would call a racing rowing boat where everybody's got one oar. Okay. Not two, one. And you got to get everybody in synchronization and you got to know what the mission is. So the whole ecosystem needs to know what you just mentioned. You're sharing your stories and your vision with the customer. That helps them understand where you're going, and they want to help. People want to pull people up, but you got to present it that you're, you know, so that everybody's on to the same mission, because then they know, oh, they're going to be thinking about you from that perspective, and it changes the game completely.
100%. We actually infuse that concept into our sales process too. We have a whole sales presentation we go through and we present plans to people. And we always tell them what our company values are on that call. Before we tell them the price of the thing and do they want to buy it or not, we tell them who we are and what we stand for. Because you're going to spend, on the services side, you're going to spend a lot of time with these people. You're going to have to build that trust, and they have to understand who we are as people too and what we believe. That also, we also show them all the solutions we provide from a business line point of view. Even if they're only interested in one, most clients come to us and they're like, I'm just interested in content, but they didn't know that we build websites. They actually also need a website, or they have a friend that needs a website. Like, it's important that everybody knows what you stand for and everything you bring to the table, just to be able to draw connect those dots.
Yeah. Yep. You got ambassadors of your business. Mm-hmm. That's what you're creating. I prefer calling them business super fans, but yeah. At the end of the day,
I like it.
They're ambassadors that are really out there promoting business. So yep. As we kind of wrap up here, David, how can people find you?
LinkedIn is great. I'm David J. Ebner. If you put the J in there, I come up just a little bit faster. Our website, contentworkshop.com, is great too. There's actually a little chat window on our website on the lower right-hand corner. You could chat with me on our website if you want, but LinkedIn's a little faster. So yeah, David J. Ebner or at contentworkshop.com.
And I realize you guys have something on offer too for our listeners.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So that's at chatteragent.ai. If you want to sign up for that, you can ping me on LinkedIn after you've signed up for it, and I'll put extra tokens. So the whole thing works on tokens, just like AI. And I dump an extra 10,000 tokens in your free account. So you don't even have to pay for it. Sign up. It's free. Ping me on LinkedIn. Say, hey, David, I heard you on Superfans. And then I'm going to throw extra tokens in your account.
Perfect. We'll make sure that's in the show notes. Great conversation, David. Love to have you on the show down the road again.
Great. Thanks, Freddie.
David reminded us that AI can support content, but real trust still comes from human creativity, a clear point of view, and stories that make the customer the hero. For service-based business owners, that matters because authority and referrals are built through relationships, not generic content. And that's exactly what I believe, too. When you help people feel seen, supported, and successful, you create superfans who help your business grow. Know another service-based business owner who could benefit from this? Send them the link and help them get one superfan closer. And if today's conversation got you thinking about how you stand out in the world, overloaded with emails, ads, and AI-generated noise, let me introduce you to something I call Mailbox Superfans. It's a relationship-driven direct mail system I personally use to create memorable customer experiences, deepen relationships, increase retention, and generate more referrals in a world where digital noise is everywhere. The reality is this. The mailbox has become one of the last places with almost no competition for attention. That's why strategic direct mail is one of the most overlooked growth opportunities in business today, especially for service-based businesses looking to build real loyalty and long-term advocacy. It aligns perfectly with everything we talk about here on Business Superfans Advantage, turning customers, partners, and stakeholders into true business superfans. And to help you get started, I'm currently offering a special 90-day mailbox superfans package designed to help you implement the strategy in your business quickly and effectively. You can learn more about it at 90daymailboxsuperfans.com. Once again, that's 90daymailboxsuperfans.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm grateful you're part of the Business Superfans movement. Every listen and every action brings you closer to building your own superfans. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We've got another great guest coming up that's going to drop some valuable insights. So I'll talk to you in the next episode. And remember, cultivate superfans, build authority, own your market.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.